many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill him. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him. For God is our refuge. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on scales, together they are lighter than the breath of air. Don't make your money by extortion, or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. Amen. What I find fascinating about Psalms, or the book of Psalms, is that the book of Psalms is a book of different people, many of them King David, but more than that, people who are expressing to us, 3,000 years later, their own feelings about their situation. And they simply have put them down. And it's not just feelings about the situation, it's where God fits into that and how God fits into that. And what place God has in the whole run of their life, whatever situation they find themselves in. And here in Psalm 62, we find this reflection, this prayer, this psalm reaching out to God, trying to make sense of his situation and how God fits in to that place that they're in. So let's do a bit of Bible study in a sense. Let's look at the psalm and try and understand what it has to say to us. And we begin almost at the end this morning, and I want us to kind of move around the psalm a wee bit and not just go through it in its logical run. Because in a sense, the psalm doesn't have a logical run. It's kind of thoughts coming into this man's head as he is working through what's happening to him. And he says in verse 9 and 10, from the greatest to the lowest, all are nothing in his sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they are lighter than a puff of air. Remember when the kind of hurricane winds, heavy winds hit us, and heavy winds up to hurricane scale hit us while we were in the sky, at least once. And I phoned my uncle in Lewis, way up at the north, you know, where everything's flat and the wind just howls across. And everybody, of course, was up in arms and worried about the winds and the damage the winds were doing. And I said, how are things up there? Oh, he said, it's just a wee puff. We're not used to the winds. Fire station where it disappeared once across a Macca, you know, they just coped, wasn't just a wee puff. And when I read that, they're lighter than a puff of air.
sin we resist. Whether in society's terms you are the lowest or the highest, perspective must tell you that in God's eyes there is nothing like that. We build structures that grade people. And those structures, sadly, grade people according to culture, according to colour. One of the things that America is just resonating with just now, isn't it? One of the things that we're having to come to terms with because of Brexit as well. I saw an interesting thing on Facebook recently. And it was a group of people that were invited into a room and then eventually invited to give samples for their DNA. They were asked questions about where they came from, and they were asked various questions about other groups in society. And this particular fellow, who was British, was asked about himself, and he said, "I'm British, I'm proud to be British." And then he said, "Is there any group of people," he said, "that you find difficult to like?" "The Germans," he said. And lots of different folks were asked lots of different questions, and eventually they gave their DNA, and they were invited back once they'd been given their DNA, and they were shown where they'd come from. The boy who didn't like the Germans was 25% German. And people who belonged to groups where there was enmity between these groups were actually very similar in their DNA. And the whole thing showed so clearly that the barriers that we create and the barriers that we build are false. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see the rich and the poor, the black and the non-black, the coloured and the non-coloured. He doesn't see those who have lived with privilege and others. He looks upon the heart and he sees those people that he longs to connect with, who are all equal in his sight. Created the barriers that create society's way of looking at itself. But God doesn't see that. And neither should we. Ever. I was listening to Jean Vanier, and Jean Vanier was a Roman Catholic priest from the Netherlands, who created the large community where he lived with people with disability. And I was listening to an interview on the radio with him the other day, and there was this wonderful way in which he described his life's ambition. He said, "It is my ambition," he said, "that the poor," he said, "and the disabled would know and understand how beautiful they are. How beautiful they are." And yet we look at people, and so often and too often we put labels. Labels that God never puts. And that's our starting point in this psalm. And a warning is given out again to those with much. Don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the centre of your life. You're a new Prime Minister. And what is it that's going to govern everything? Is it going to be again wealth that's going to govern everything? the heart, about how wealth should not be what governs what we do, but rather should be used to help those who need the most help. And this is where the psalm starts. And then the psalm moves on. And the psalm moves on to try and to help us to understand where we are with God. And we live in a culture, and we've said it before, and it's increasingly this, where regard for the things of faith, and regard for God, and regard for Christians is something that has diminished. And so here is a man who's under pressure, and here's the conclusion that he comes to. He says, God alone is my rock. Now you think about it. Remember, I took my children back to the shoreline in Port of Ness Harbour, to this rock that was there that I went on and played on. I was a captain of a ship, I was a driver of a truck, there was everything on that rock. When the sea would crash against it, and I never had any fear. Why? Because I was on my rock. And I went back to it and climbed out last year as a 61-year-old. I wasn't quite as nimble getting up it as I'd been as a youngster. And my kids came onto it as well. It was the same rock in the same place. And there was a sense of permanence and safety about it. And that's what the psalmist is trying to get across to himself and to others. He, God alone, is my rock. He is my salvation. He is the one who keeps me safe. He is my fortress. He surrounds me with his strength. Therefore, I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor comes from God alone. He is my refuge. A rock, he says it again, where no enemy can reach me. And so the sense that we have as a people of God is that there is a permanence about God's protection for his people. And whatever life throws at us, the one thing that is always going to be permanent is God, his character, his nature, his protection, and the fact that we are safe with him. And in a sense, he reiterates this throughout the psalm. In verse 1, he says, my salvation comes from him. It's because of him I'm saved. He alone, he says, is my rock and salvation. He repeats it, my fortress, I will never be shaken. In other words, he's saying the same thing to himself three times in the psalm in order to allow it to permeate and give a clear picture to himself of his standing within and before God. He's a man who's facing opposition. He's a man who's facing the kind of opposition, if you'll have noticed it in the reading, where there are some people that were friendly to his face and cursing him in their hearts. It's quite debilitating, isn't it? When people are friendly to your face and you know that's not what they are in their heart. But you can't change that. You can't alter what people have chosen to become. It can get you down sometimes, in the workplace or at home or in your relationships with your neighbours, even in the church. But you've got to look beyond that. And that's what the psalmist is saying, whatever people are to me, who God is to me is fundamentally more important. He's facing his opposition. And then he says this, I wait quietly before God. He says it twice. For my hope is in heaven. And you know, it's one of the things that is a lost art among Christians. And one of the things that we need to recover. Finding that place of quietness in our life. Finding that time of quietness in our life where we can simply be in the presence of God. And the more that we cultivate that, the greater the balance will be restored to our lives. It's a wee bit like the storm of life. And Jesus was there in the boat, and he was perfectly at peace. The storm raged around him, but he was perfectly at peace because he had cultivated with God that sense and knowledge and understanding that the storms were only a wee puff, and that God was greater than the storm. My friends, in the busyness of this life, much of it is our own created busyness. And much of our leisure time is spent not pursuing the things that matter, but rather just allowing ourselves to be saturated with trash in front of a television screen. When half an hour in the presence of God, in the quietness and stillness of his presence, would benefit us so, so, so much more. It's our perspective, it's our priorities that are wrong. And then finally, the psalmist moves to these wonderful words that we find as the conclusion. Power, he says, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Notice the link. Power, O Lord, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. There's the connection. What is the power of God? It is the unfailing love of God. And that's what I've got to remind myself of continuously. What is it that's true? That there is a powerful, unfailing love of God that flows into my life and keeps on flowing into my life. And I become distorted when I throw myself in all kinds of directions, worrying about all kinds of things, and not allowing myself that stillness. Here we are, that time of quietness where I stand, sit, kneel, bow, whatever, in the presence of God, and I allow the truth to filter into my life. Power of God is there, and it's nature's love. And it flows into me. It's permanently there. Unfailingly there. The psalmist in his conclusion asks us to trust in him at all times. When trust is difficult, pour out your heart to him. But you will hear, know, understand, respond to his people. For he alone, as the psalmist continuously says, is our